Dale Earnhardt and those Earnhardt look alike. Why don't you stand up, brother? Could you imagine we, in our church we'd have Dale Earnhardt, right? But Bob came as a friend, and what happened Thursday afternoon, Bob? In one word or less, or one sentence. Yes. And he's the one who wins the you know, they send him around in the different places of the country, and we just he's become a brother, and we just love you. And we're praying he's going to move here, right? We'll see, right? All right, thank you, Bob. But Bob's been here for a season, a friend of the Clarks, and just a beautiful time this past week, and we had a great time, fellowship in my office, and then Mega Men, and it was just wonderful what happened in his heart. But what I said all that for this, is that in this world's most famous speech, before they start that race, what do they normally say? Start your engines. But man, you know, sometimes the last two laps on that big 31-degree bank, there's always wrecks, and it doesn't matter how good you start, but if you finish. And we're in a race right now. We're in a race, and there's never been more enemies or obstacles than right now. But you know what? If you have your eyes on the enemy or the obstacle, you get in trouble. That's why when you're driving down I-4 or State Road, and you see a man changing his tire, or a lady, I hope not a lady, hope somebody would help, on the side of the road changing their tires, if you have your eye on them, there's a good chance that you could hit them because you've taken your eye off where it should be. And we don't want to break down on the side of the road. We don't want to be a collateral damage or casualty of anybody or else or be a cause for anybody else. We want to finish this race strong. So as a friendly reminder, the first picture of last week we started, we'll do it again. This is a small example of what it's like. That may only show some 60-some people, but let me tell you, there's hundreds and hundreds of people that will go in and out of this place of all ages from the nursery to those that are older than me in this day alone. And we're in a race. Whether you did that or not, you're going to have an opportunity to be a part of our walking and health club and running club in the future. You can stop by to get a nice finished strong shirt. But I want to add it this week to my text. And the scripture or the title of the message is The Run on Believing. Even as there's a run on the banks, there's a run on the market. There's a run on tangible assets. There's a run on you realize there's 10,000 border crossing jobs going on right now. They're interviewing in Ohio. And there's a run on that right now because they don't care. I'll live at Reynosa, Texas and be a border guard, you know, whatever it takes. I know a station down there. I know exactly where it is. There's a run on employment. There's a run on the banks. But listen, we as believers, there's a run on believing right now. And this run, if you fall short with a stitch pain, if you just get tired, you won't be able to sit back and rest. The enemy will come and take you captive. So in addition to the text that we used last week, Hebrews 12:1, and we'll be in a little bit in Hebrews 10, 11, and 12 again today till we finish, but we're also going to add another scripture. And now, if you would, if you had a chance to, Psalms 119:32, this was the text that was on that shirt. When you buy your shirt, that will be the text that's on the shirt. I will run the course of your commandments. You shall enlarge our heart. You know, that's one of the things I believe has been happening in the short chronological time as a body of believers in this season of this church, is that we have sought the Lord to continue to enlarge our heart to the things that touch his heart. That is our love to him. That is our love to each other. That is our love for the lost. And what happens as we have had seasons of enlarging our heart for the things of God, God, as the scripture says, has continually to enlarge in our tent and tent posts. And God is doing it once again. We're on this race right now. It doesn't matter how old you are, but right now the race is intensifying. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, listen, endurance, the race that's before us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the race that has started. We thank you for the race that has started just for some this past week, for some this past month, for some this past year, for some this past decade. The moment they said, yes, Lord, I lay aside every sin and every weight. Lord, I thank you for the blood that you spilled for me that I could stand clean, pardoned, not guilty. I'm part of a family. I'm part of a kingdom that will never stop advancing. I'm part of a kingdom that has the perfect king because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you that my name and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so the day we take our last breath, we'll be in paradise with you, walking the streets of gold, seeing your glory. But also until that time, we need not let our hearts be troubled. Lord, we see that when it's most difficult in the world, your provision is at its highest. Your favor, your face, the ability to hear and understand your word is at an all-time high because you take care of your children. And you don't want fear to be the close of your children, to bog us down, to get us off track, to give up and not run the race that has already been run before us under more difficult situations from some of your greats for the last 2,000 years. So you save your best for the last. Because in the last days, you said you'd even pour out more of your spirit. And we recognize to finish this race, it's not by might, not by power, but only by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. And let us be the ones that do the run on believing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Last week, we covered that the run on believing needs a non-wavering hold. A non-wavering hold. God says, listen, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you reach out to him, he said, I'll reach out my right hand of righteousness. Right hand of righteousness. He lays hold of us. And when he lays hold of us, listen, no man can take us out of his hand. Now listen, we could be like the little child that tries to wiggle out of our parents' hands. And sometimes as believers, we do that. May I suggest, now's not the time to do that. Amen? That non-wavering hold had everything to do with a solid starting place, a sure direction, and a secure group as well as a secure grip. Grip, that's a new word. Grip. We had a solid grip, a solid footing, and we had a band of brothers and sisters together, and we knew what that group was all about. Now, here's new for this week. The run on believing also needs something else. And boy, is the world waiting to hear your story. It needs an established testimony. An established testimony. What is your story? People can challenge you and they could say, well, I don't believe that the word of God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe what you're having to tell me about your church, your denomination. I don't believe in any of it. But listen, one thing they cannot deny is your what? Your testimony. You realize the blood of Jesus and your testimony is the only thing that overcomes this world or the devil. And they overcame what? They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. The run on believing needs an established testimony. Now, again, from Hebrews 12, we're backtracking to the chapter before, the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And those, listen, put that verse back up. Those two things is what you're going to need in this day and age. Whether it's persecution, false accusation, whether it's needing mercy or grace, whether it's something that you don't have, you don't have the ability in your earning power. Two things there. Substance and evidence. And I've said this before. Faith gives you the two things that everyone needs in life. Faith is substance of things hoped for. It is the basis of what you need and accesses all things, listen, all things pertaining to life and godliness, all things. So we have it before we have it as we trust God and believe. That's what it means. If you have faith in the need to get you out of trouble or to ease the pressure, it's not going to work. But faith is the substance. Keep on believing in everything give thanks. We continue to believe God. You cannot afford not to believe God. Only one time in 28 years of ministry, somebody ever said, well, what about only one time? Well, what about if I believe and nothing happens? And I was able to say, well, I have great news for you. You've lived a life with a clear conscience, sin forgiven. Your name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. If you were to die today, you'll wake up in paradise. You're around a band of believers, a family. You're around a place where you could run to a couple times a week to be built up and encouraged. That's better than That alone is better than anything the world has to offer. Amen? Substance, provision, protection in there. Faith is the substance of things that you dream of, desire, need, and hope for. And then in this life, when you don't dot every I, though you try, and cross every T, misunderstood by friends, family, maybe the government, I don't know what. Let me tell you something else faith does. Faith not only is substance, but it's also an evidence. It's an evidence. Say, God, I got myself into this debt mess. God, I made some wrong choices. God, forgive me of my sins. I cry out to you. And guess what? Let me tell you what happens. All of a sudden, Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, becomes your advocate, stands before the Father and says, Father, I know, but you know that you sent me to cover him and her when I was nailed to the cross, and now I ever live to make intercession. Look through my daughter, my son, or your son or daughter, Father, through my shed blood and the promises of God. You don't think you need that in this day and age. You're going after and you're investing in the wrong commodities. Because every one of us here, now until we take our last breath, need substance when it's beyond our ability, beyond our earning power, beyond our cleverness. And we do need an advocate. And we have great attorneys here, some right over here. We need a spiritual advocate, though, a spiritual attorney. And his name is who? Jesus. You know? Say it again. Jesus. Notice, I'm going to count to three. I want you to say Jesus. Not shout it. There's just something about that name. One, two, three. There's something about that name. Sometimes that's the only thing that you could do. Jesus. And he hears you. And he arises. An established testimony. My God is faithful. He has been everything to me. When I haven't got it totally right, his righteousness has made me right. When I have failed in my own ability. I want to tell you something, friend or sir. Right now in this day and age, I've been through this before. I've been now knowing him long enough to say he is faithful. Listen, that testimony right there, if every believer in every block, on every workspace throughout this county were to just exercise that testimony as people are talking about what everybody's talking about. If you notice, please, every time you look at the front page of the newspaper, it's getting worse and worse. And I appeal to you, especially you men, don't read the paper the first thing in the morning. Slip out of bed, get on those knees, and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me and my family. I thank you that you love me. This is my testimony that I'm yours. Nobody can and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Give me warnings. Give me wisdom today so I can walk through them and beyond the landmines of sin, the lies of the enemy. Lord, I'm in a special economy with you. Let me not get sidetracked by the things that everybody is seeing today. Amen? And this run on believing takes an established testimony. My God, we're living in a day and age and country where somebody will high-five Jesus and he's too holy to do that on Sunday and then forget about that a commitment in 3 months or 4 months. This is a day and age right now. If you slip out of the family, you slip out of the platoon, the enemy's going to set his sights on you and take you out. And that's not what Jesus came and died for. We got to establish ourselves in our marriages. We got to be with each other in the family, our own children, the children of this church, the teenagers. You got to start gleaming off of people that have tenured themselves in ministry and not running here and there and family. And though there's challenges, stay committed as believers to their spouse. Picture 091 and then go right to 109 if you have that, please. You got to look at some of the people that have weathered the storm in Christ. You know, the longer I am married to my wife, I recognize that marriage, and the longer I'm around you people and seeing you get tangible little presents and stuff like this to encourage one another, it tells me how rich I am. My God, how great it is to be able to know that when I said before God, till death do us part, I meant what I said. And I knew if I forgot, it would be death by Renee. And I look back, even as that race, as a long-term brother in Christ and one of the early folks that came over and established with us, and finishing that race line with Craig Thomas, encouraged me. Now, normally, a few years ago, he would leave me in the dust. But as gracious as he was to encourage me. I remember we did a seven-mile run about 4 years ago with law enforcement. I remember Tim Secor. I'll tell you, you think it's a long run. It's longer when you do it, when you leave the just south of Walmart, north side of town, and run to McGregor. Oh, my. About two blocks before from the old Dunkin' Donuts, I wanted to give up. I wanted to give up. Well, Tim came by me and says, come on, Pastor, we're going to finish it together. Greg and I finished this one together. Folks, please, it's time for us in the church in America to grow up. Stop trying to run for a change. You know, we're just like the world. The world changes wives, changes cars, changes toys. And sometimes, as believers in America, instead of Jesus being enough and being happy with the family that God gave you and happy with the family of God, we do some things, and we never establish a testimony of tenure in our marriage, in our families, in the marriage that God has now given you after knowing Christ, and the tenure there, in the family of God, bearing root, getting a testimony, and we need an established testimony. And I appeal to you right now, those of you that have come to Christ, I'm excited for you. I always keep on calling Dale. Bob, I'm excited for some of you to come to Christ this past month, this past year. Some of you that have been in the trenches a long time. We need to entice each other to good works and follow each other that have followed Christ for a while. Revelation 12:11 again says, they went before us, and those in the final age had this testimony. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and a word of their testimony. They loved not their life unto death. Let us take a look at the faith of the faithful. Now we're going to inventory a few right now. As you're looking at Hebrews 11, 1 through 40, it's just something that we need to bathe ourselves with, I believe, at least once a year. But turn to it, and I'll cover some of it, and I feel there's a sense of time available. Matter of fact, I feel I'm going to take the time. Just look at Hebrews together with me. I want us to look at it again. I know you. I'll tell you, this is so full of faith. I've preached on Hebrews 11, a different message each time, probably four times out of the last 6 years. And I've come to find out I've learned more about it this past year than I ever have before. Back in the early 80s, I memorized this chapter. And I'm going to tell you something. It seems like not that I never knew it, but it seems like it's taken on such meaning right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm back up one verse, the last verse of Hebrews 10. You can keep that on there, that one there. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe even to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. For the evidence of things not seen. Myra said, faith is two things at least, two things immediately, substance and evidence. Now look what it is in verse 2. For this faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. We just talked about testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. What's people going to say of you one day? Oh, he had this testimony that he was up and down, looking for another thrill, looking for another person. What's people going to say about our testimony? He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. What do you think the wildfires in 1998 did? They gave us a disaster ministry to take care of each other and even to evangelize the world, probably a decade, or no, at least a half a decade before any within the evangelical full gospel church even thought the need of having something like that. I was, you know, this past Thursday, I was walking with Johnny Baker from Springfield, from headquarters. He said, you know, this pastor, he says, we're going to have general council in Orlando. General council of the World Assemblies of God. It's going to be in your backyard. He goes, you don't mind, I'm going to bring Dr. Trask and some of the people, maybe even Dr. Wood. You know, Dr. Wood, our general superintendent, it would be great if he has a window of time. He is not only a brilliant theologian, a PhD in theology, but he's also a lawyer and a godly pastor. And now he's ahead of this biggest movement in the world. He's possibly going to come and walk on our property in Kepler. He goes, you realize since 1998, everybody, even those that are in the office that pastor churches of 5,000 talk about First Assembly of God the land. I said, what? I said, you know what? I said, our people are the most incredible people, and we serve the most incredible God. Who would know? You know, let me tell you something about balance. Sometimes we think we got to do the right things, we'll please God, or we'll know how to be prepared for the future. God is not wacky. God knows how to prepare us. If there's any place to be about, if the economy were to snap, terrorism, all these things we spoke about in the 90s, God has always allowed us to be forerunners anyway and stay balanced. When Y2K came, and believers were going nuts, burying food, ammunition, arms, all kind of stuff. Everything's going to crash. You were part of this church. God brought us through 1998. We didn't get crazy and ruin our testimony in this community. Or the staff ruining their testimony by doing helter-skelter things. I remember telling somebody, I said, excuse me, what about if your heathen neighbors finds out you have some food and comes to you? Are you going to shoot them? Are you going to say, get out of here, heathen, I'm not going to feed you? Now, there's wisdom at times that I believe every one of us should have a reserve. We should have a reserve. That's the reason why we live in Florida. Amen. Should have a reserve of food. Should have a reserve of non-perishable food. Should have a reserve of water. Should have a reserve of flashlights and batteries. And anything else that the Lord would lay on our heart would be non-selfish, non-panic, non-fearful, but always of faith. Amen. See, we get through this, because I can't afford not to finish this message. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations. Let me tell you, so are we, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, we don't get it all this side of heaven. I don't know about you, no matter how fit you try to keep yourself, we're all going to get older. And let me tell you something. Paul said, if we only have hope in this life alone, we are the most deceived. We're the most unfruitful. We're the most miserable of all creation. I'm going to tell you something. Every time I stand by the graveside of a believer, I see nothing but hope. Hallelujah. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. God has given all things to us. It doesn't get any better than this. Eternal life, richer than any trillionaire for eternity. And on this side of heaven, he said that I will provide for all of your needs according to my riches and glory through Jesus Christ. David said, I was young and now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken, a seed begging for bread. He goes, in your day of trouble, cry out to me. And I will hear you, saith the Lord. Listen, it's all built on faith, believing God. Abraham believed God. God accredited him as righteousness. Listen. You know why? These forefathers, they knew what they were doing wasn't in vain. They were living for a God whose maker and builder is God. The city he was preparing them. Jesus said, listen, I have to go. They said, please don't go. Please don't go, Jesus. Remember the disciples in John 14? He said, listen, I have to go. I got to go because I'm preparing a mansion, man. I'm preparing something for your efforts. You have no idea. You don't have any idea why I came. I don't feel bad. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You just continue to do what I tell you to do, no matter how tough it gets. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Listen, where I am someday, you'll be with me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Listen, he said, because I'm going to come back for you one day. Hallelujah. I'm going to come back. You want to hold on to this world? Oh, well, just get a picture of what it's going to look like. It's not going to look pretty. People said, oh, if I'm left behind when Jesus comes, I think there might be a second chance, and I'll be real good then. I said, I'll tell you something. With a church on every corner, with believers all over the place, 5 Christian FM radio stations, any given city in this country, 3 or 4 Christian TV stations, preachers all over the place. If you can't live now when the Spirit of God disappears and takes a believer off of this, that's wrong. It didn't sound right. When the Spirit of God disappears. When the Spirit of God withdraws and the bride of Christ disappears off this land, you think it'll be easy then to serve God? You want to be here? Uh-huh. Well, so what about your eschatology's wrong, Pastor? What about if we got to go through this or that? Well, guess what? Glory to God. You'll be more apt by faith to handle anything than compared to anybody else. Hallelujah. What do you think the church is giving Mega Man back in the 90s? What do you think is, even our ladies sometimes in armament, they wear combat boots. They're tough. What do you think he has people, a desire for us to encourage one another in spirit, soul, and body and make certain that we love God and love each other? Why? This is all a training ground for eternity. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, when from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in a multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, were assured of them. Listen, they did receive them because they embraced them, enjoyed them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Well, what about if this doesn't come to pass? Hey, listen, walk through the heroes of faith. Some didn't get what they were wanting to have immediately, but guess what? Because of faith, because of believing, they enjoyed the benefit of it before it ever came, because they saw something through that promise. And I'll make it really practical. Your best day of vacation is not when you're on vacation. It's the day before. Correct me if I'm wrong. Think about it. My poor four kids had to grow up, hardly ever take a vacation. But when we did, usually it was family freeloading at their house. It was exciting. Most exciting, the day we were talking about it, the week before. But they had to live with a man that cut the vacation always a day short. I clashed with Renee. I could not stand coming back to back home and going into the office the next day or going into the pulpit. I said, that's not right. I can't. I got to. So the little vacation we took was always one day short, because the best day of the vacation wasn't the last. It was before it even happened. Let's look at the faith of the patriarchs. Continue by faith. Verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promise. What happens when God gives you a promise, then it looks like it's going before your fingers? Could you imagine 100 years old? Could you imagine being older? Could you imagine finally getting that child, that son, whether adopted or whether given to you or whether naturally, in this case naturally, and all of a sudden God says, slay him. God never intended to slay him. He wanted to promote Abraham to a new level of belief, to give us a precursor of what Jesus would be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, you're being tested right now. We're all being tested, but we're the only ones that could pass the test compared to this world. He offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only, listen to those words, begotten Son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received, in a figurative sense. The run on believing is a non-wavering hold. It's an established testimony. An established testimony is about vision. It's about seeing things that nobody else sees. It's about enjoying the answer and antidote before anybody else ever tastes or drinks or experiences or walks the path where you walk. It's about seeing the invisible future. Man, if you dream God's dreams, you'll have less sick fantasies. Believing there's still a race that is worth running, and by faith, seeing the finish line. Hebrews 11 is indeed often called the hall of faith because it inventories men and women of faith who believed God and triumphed in their own lifetimes. The passage that includes the few that did not get immediate results summarizes an initial list of finishers, heroes, and the faithful with a word about vision. These all died in faith, Hebrews 11:13, not having received a promise, but having seen them afar off and were sure of them, embrace them, testify to them, or confess them, that they were only strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Let's remember some. Aggie Vinovich, Gloria Baruth, brother and sister Beringer, Warren Dearborn, Dorothy Pye, sister Josephine Modica, Rich Lynn, the Kilgers, and others. Too many to number. It is almost impossible to separate faith and vision. You'll get flaky or it'll be none. They have to be together, because faith has a track record as it looks into the future. Vision. They saw the promise afar off. These believers had power for today because they had vision for tomorrow. The reason why we have confidence today, the reason why we have an established testimony, I've known pastors that have changed the name of their church 5-6 times in 12 years. And I go, what? What's your identity? What are you ashamed of? What are you afraid of? Not only they had vision, they had confidence. They were assured of the promises. They remained optimistic because they wanted to make a legacy more than a living. Did you hear what I just said? They wanted to make a legacy more than a living. I showed you before, you could drive by DeLand Memorial Gardens or Oakdale Cemetery, and every gravestone, for the most part, if there's any writing, there's a date of birth, date of death, and a dash. And this dash is your life and mine. It goes by quickly. To make a legacy more than a living, not grabbing, gaining, or guarding your confidence for selfish reasons, but so it could touch people, drive people, give them confidence, cast vision in their life. It's so exciting to be alive now. Every day, I don't care who it is that I talk to in this world, I have something to offer them that within a second, if they believe, they can start seeing an immediate increase. Drive. Some of these heroes, they had drive. They embraced promises and embraced the race. They testified of an ownership for them, their children, and the people to come. They also had resolve. They had vision, confidence, drive, and resolve. They testified that they were strangers and pilgrims. They made up their minds. Their dreams, not their memories, consumed them. Listen, their dreams, not their memories, consumed them. The dreams that I have for this next generation in this church and this city, the visions that I believe is seeing thousands of people come to Christ, keeps me going every day. Not my past. In closing, to run on believing needs a desire to finish strong. This race is before us. Picture 120. As I read to you Hebrews 11:1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It doesn't matter how fast you go. Picture 102. It's a matter that making certain that everybody finishes and enjoys the joy of it all. Every one of us, some dragging other people, enticing each other across the finish line. A week ago Sunday, celebrated. Those in their 80s that ran that race, walk. Those in their teens. We all won. Let us run with endurance the races before us. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's something about looking unto something before you and greater than you. Go back to one of the pictures with the finish line. There's something, no matter how sick or tired you know, the finish line, you find one that says the finish. There's something about seeing that, no matter how tired you are, because once you see it, you're almost home. It's amazing how you could strum up a little action for the last 5 feet. You'd be like this a half mile ago, drooling down your chin, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I'm bad. Key to winning this race? Consider them. Consider them. Consider them that went before us. Did I mention some of the people in this church? They're at the portals of heaven looking down and says, you could do it. You better do it. You won't believe how awesome it is up here in heaven. Consider those in the Bible. They're there to encourage you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God's no respecter of persons. Since a great cloud of witnesses has gone before us, we must get serious and remain serious about finishing strong. Whether your time clock is 86 years or 17 years, whether those that finish with a time of 21 minutes or an hour and a half. Not only consider them, but in verse 1, but from our text, but consider ourselves. Ourselves. Let us. The word us, plural pronoun. We got to consider ourselves. What's my part in the race? It's now our turn to run the race and watch for the pitfalls. We must lay aside every sin and wait. We have to embrace that which would prevent us. Lay aside everything that causes us to finish strong. Consider them, consider ourselves, and consider others. Jesus ran his own race and endured hardship by fixing his eyes on the rewards. We have to do the seven. We have to do the same. There's one final group picture. Everybody by the finish line, if you could turn to that. I want you to look at it. I want you to stand. I don't know what you picture the first few snapshots of heaven, what it's going to look like. I don't know what you picture. This picture I don't think will be in there. But a picture very, very similar will be in there. I believe God is going to give us a photo. You know, we're very visual people. I believe it for us, he's going to show us snapshots of the spot, snapshots of the property, snapshots of people coming to Christ in Earl Brown Park, snapshots of you witnessing to somebody when they just collapse in your arms on the job. And that's why in the scripture says Jesus, he endured the cross for the things that he saw through the cross. Those people, they endured all kinds of stuff that we don't have a clue in America, because they saw the finish line and they saw Jesus on the other side of it. Church, you must get stronger each day and give out the good news every day like never before, because the news outside is going to continue to go south. This is the greatest time. And if you take care of his business, if you remain faithful and take care of his business, I promise you, I'm now old enough to say and see that God has always been faithful. My grandparents, my parents, all in Christ, Renee and I, our children, our spiritual children. Lay hold. Stay in and run. You don't have to run faster than anybody else. Stay in the race. Bow your heads, please.